Hi.
Hi.
This is Jane.
What?
I messed up.
Excuse me.
I was gonna introduce you.
Oh,
but then I said that was my name.
Good for you. this is Allison.
And this is the Flick Chicks podcast. Already off to a really good start.
Okay. How are you?
I'm good. You leave for Spain tomorrow.
I do.
So that's exciting.
Yes. I packed all day and I cleaned my room in case I die.
Yeah.
Gotta over there.
Hide stuff. I haven't done anything today.
Yeah, no,
today's
I haven't
my,
either.
My last day of official like summertime freedom before it's back to work and rehearsals and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I'm glad. I'm enjoying it.
Yes, me too. It's been a good day. Mm-hmm. We've literally done nothing. I just finished packing and that's it.
Yep.
So yeah, it's been a good day.
Yep.
And I think we're going to watch a movie. Cole's my boyfriend. We're going to watch a movie tonight called Collateral.
Oh.
Rewatch it. It's Tom Cruise and he has like dyed white hair. It's so good.
That is good.
But he plays himself basically, but himself as if he went on a, like a murderous rampage.
Oh.
It's really believable. I know, right? I know, it's very believable. All right.
So, Jane, what movies are we doing today?
We're doing two movies. This is my pick. So, we're going to do Rear Window, directed by Alfred Hitchcock. And we're also going to do Disturbia, starring Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
Because I really wanted to do two movies because I'll be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we're going to do Rear Window. I took an Alfred Hitchcock class with a really cool professor that we have. And so I learned a lot about Hitchcock and kind of all the themes and motifs he uses and stuff like that. And then Disturbia is kind of based on
the same premise,
yeah. You know, Murderer Next Door, which is such a fun genre.
It really is.
I just want to say, like, The Burbs, Summer of 84,
mm-hmm.
like all those. It's so fun. So I really like this genre of thriller, and I'm really excited to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, this is my first time watching both of these films.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never seen either of them, so I am excited to talk about it too.
Yes. So we're going to talk about Rear Window first, since it came first. It was made in 1954, directed by Alfred Hitchcock, of course, starring Jimmy Stewart and Grace Kelly.
Yeah.
And Grace Kelly is a beautiful, beautiful woman.
She really is.
Apparently, like, it's based on a short story.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't a romance in mm-hmm. the short story. So they were writing it when Alfred Hitchcock and the screenwriter were writing it. Like, mm-hmm. Alfred Hitchcock was very involved with everything that happened on set, including script writing. They actually had Grace Kelly in the room a lot of the time so they could base the character off of actual Grace Kelly.
Oh, that's so nice.
Isn't that cool?
That's nice for Grace Kelly.
Because she was so charming just naturally.
Yeah. It's obviously a very good film.
Yeah.
Everything Alfred Hitchcock makes is pretty much excellent.
It's pretty much excellent.
So it kind of begins, and our main character is played by Jimmy Stewart. He's in a wheelchair,
yeah.
Because he broke one of his legs on a photography assignment.
Yeah.
He's
photographing a car race, and the car, like, smashed into him.
He's lucky he didn't die. But he's essentially going kind of stir crazy because
It's super hot.
It's the 1950s. He can't go anywhere because he can't go anywhere because he lives in an apartment building.
On a third floor or something like that.
And he can't really leave. So he has a caretaker who comes and takes care of him.
Stella.
She's from the insurance agency.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Stella's amazing.
She's
love her.
She's great.
And then his girlfriend, who's played by Grace Kelly.
Yeah, Lisa.
Lisa. She comes also to take care of him
mm-hmm.
During the nights, usually.
Yeah, and it opens, he's already been in the cast for like 7 weeks, and this is his last week in the cast. So that's whenever, like, we're kind of thrown into the plot.
Yeah, and so basically he's just bored, so he starts watching his neighbors from outside the window.
Yeah.
And kind of just, like, looking, you know, what they do and kind of their everyday lives. And he thinks he sees one of his neighbors murder his wife.
Yeah.
He doesn't see it, but he realizes that the wife is, like, an invalid, and she's very, very sick, and she's homebound, and then all of a sudden she's not there, and all her stuff is gone.
And the guy has, like, two knives, and he, you know, like, kept carrying suitcases out in the middle of the night.
Yeah. He has a bunch of her jewelry.
Yeah. It's... So he... Jimmy Stewart is, like, just inferring this, like, oh, he has murdered his wife.
Yeah. And so he does. He has a police friend, or he's, like, a detective.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, not helpful.
No, he's not very helpful because it's complicated. Because the guy, the Mr. Thorwald, is the murderer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, my wife moved.
Yeah, he basically said that he and his wife are moving to the country.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife went before him.
Yeah.
But it's a whole, you know, it's a scheme.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, Jimmy Stewart witnesses this murder, and then the entire movie is basically him and Grace Kelly and Stella trying to
prove
that this guy did commit a murder.
Yeah.
It's fun.
He kills a dog.
He murders a dog. A
little baby dog.
It was really sad. Fun fact. So Alfred Hitchcock liked to play, like, jokes on his actors all the time. And one of the things is the couple that lives on top of the balcony, and they sleep out on the balcony.
Mm-hmm.
There's two windows, and he told one of them to go in one window and the other to go in the other window. So that's why they look so confused. And they're both, like, trying to fight over which door they're going to go in, which window they're going to go into.
Yeah. And it's raining. So yes. You're like, let's go. Let's go. Oh my gosh. It's a very, I think the movie's very, very interesting because, obviously, Alfred Hitchcock likes to use voyeurism
as a theme.
As a theme in a lot of his films. But this one is obviously, like, very much about voyeurism.
Yes, that's what the main premise is.
And so I think it's very interesting, like, especially in the opening sequence. Like, when he looks out the window and I'm yawning again. Andy, he opens the shades and you actually can see everyone, and, like, you start looking in the windows because there's stuff going on, and it's, like, it kind of almost, in my opinion, just, like, shows you at the very beginning, like, how easy it would be for this to be you.
Yeah, it's, like, we all have that voyeuristic tendency.
Exactly. I mean, you're automatically looking through the window.
Yeah.
It's, like...
And that's all he has to do.
Exactly.
And so it's, like... Well, I mean, what else are you supposed to do?
Exactly, especially when there's nothing else to do because it's the 1950s.
Yeah, and I love this movie because it's such a slow burn.
Mm-hmm.
It moves so slowly.
Well, for so long, you're like, maybe he's wrong.
Maybe he didn't kill him.
Maybe, like, he didn't kill him. I mean, there's literally almost no proof.
Yeah, it's just circumstantial evidence.
Yeah.
And then, you know... As it goes on, you obviously realize that, like, oh my God, he's right.
He's right, yeah.
I really like the theme of voyeurism that Alfred Hitchcock uses a lot. He used it in Psycho, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a huge thing. But it's kind of like they talk about it in this movie about, like, peeking into other people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And how people do things in private that they would never ever do.
Yeah, in public. Well, and just how people, like, it's not your... You don't get to look into people's private lives. That's why it's, like, private.
Mm-hmm.
And that you shouldn't. And that you don't know what you're going to find when you look.
Yeah. Yeah. The murderer next door.
Murderer next door.
I love... One of my favorite parts of the movie is how all of the scenes are either shot in... The entire movie is shot in his apartment.
Yes!
And everything that happens outside of his apartment is from his point of view.
I know, and I really like that, too. It's because it all looks far away.
Yeah.
So it's like, and the only times, I know we're not talking about Disturbia yet, but one thing I did not like about Disturbia
mm-hmm.
is that a lot of scenes where he's watching from his house, they zoom in on the scene for you so that you can see it better.
Yeah.
But I think it takes away, like, that voyeuristic element a little bit.
Yeah.
Versus, like, in Rear Window, the only time we ever zoom in on a scene is when he's looking through binoculars or he's looking through his lens.
Yeah.
So you don't get to, like, look.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like the zooming in to, like, show you what it is.
It makes you feel more like a voyeur whenever exactly. you're looking at
and
it.
It makes it feel like I'm with him and I'm on his side and, like, we're investigating this
yes.
together kind of thing.
Yes.
Versus, like, when you have outsider knowledge.
Yeah. This movie plays with, like, the idea. So Alfred Hitchcock obviously liked blondes a lot.
Yes.
And this kind of, this, I mean, there's the brunette, older brunette versus the blonde, obviously, Stella, who's a wonderful, original, spooky girl.
Oh my god, she's so funny.
She's so good. She, like, keeps being morbid about everything, and they're both, like, that was my computer.
Oh, okay.
When
she says that line about the murder, and then, Lisa's like, Stella, like, that's not a very polite thing to say. And she's like, well, I don't think they've invented a polite word for murder yet. She's so funny.
She's so good. But it plays with, like, the idea of the perfect blonde or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, that's, in the beginning, like, Jimmy Stewart, Jeff, doesn't want to settle down
mm-hmm.
with her because he's, like, a traveler and he, like, you know, takes pictures everywhere. Yeah. He's a war photographer and she's, you know, a socialite.
Yeah.
So he doesn't feel like she can accommodate his lifestyle.
So, yeah. Definitely a lot of themes of, like, femininity. Is that how you say
yes.
that?
Like,
yeah.
The idea
of femininity. She's very feminine. Like, she wears pretty dresses, and she goes out, and she's a gossip, and, like, all these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very elegant, and, like, all those things, and she thinks that jewelry is very important, makeup's very important.
Yeah.
Like, all those things. And at first, Jimmy Stewart, he doesn't like that.
Yeah.
His character doesn't like that. And it's, like, why he won't settle down with her, even though they're very, very good together, and she clearly, like, loves him.
And he loves her.
And he loves her, but it's... He thinks, like, she's too feminine.
Yeah.
But it ends up being, like, her feminine qualities that help solve the murder.
Yeah.
Like, without her feminine qualities, they wouldn't do that. And also, it takes her from this very, like, one-dimensional, like, prissy socialite girl to when she ends up, like, packing the overnight bag and
yeah.
She breaks into his house and, like, all these things. She is smart and she is
daring,
and you can be those things and be feminine.
Yeah. And just, like, at the end, whenever she's dressed in, like, jeans and stuff and she's reading, like, you know, traveling book, but then she, you know,
she puts that down and puts up the magazine.
Yeah. So it's still like, oh, she, you know, is doing this, but also she's still, like,
yeah, it's feminine. Like, she hasn't changed at all.
Yeah.
She has always had that.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't see it because he's a bad boyfriend.
So obviously the camera is kind of like a big part mm-hmm. of the movie, which I like. So, like, one of the first scenes we see is, like, the broken camera that happened in the crash.
The
camera is, like, a plot point, I think, you know. They
yeah.
use it a lot. And at the end, it's how he protects himself, you know. He flashes the flash and blinds him. And so I think it's interesting that this instrument that he's been using to, like, spy on his neighbors is, like, the thing that saves him in the end.
Yeah.
And also the thing that put him in the wheelchair.
Yeah, it's, like...
Full circle. Yeah.
And it puts him back in the wheelchair in the end because he gets thrown off the balcony.
Yeah. Also, it's really fun because you get invested in, like, the other people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like... Miss Lonely Hearts and Miss Torso.
Oh, Miss Lonely Hearts, so sad.
I know.
And the songwriter.
Yeah, and how they fall in love and how his music saves her.
She's gonna kill herself.
I know. It was really... She was gonna, like, kill herself.
I know.
It was so intense. And then Miss Torso, like, entertains men all the time, but then at the end she, like... Has a boyfriend who
she loves.
Yeah. And he looks kind of like Seymour from
Little Shop. He's, like, so nerdy looking. Yeah.
I love it.
Stanley.
And then the lady who's always passed out.
The newlyweds. Harry.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Poor guy can't get a break.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a really good movie. And this movie made me think of we watched a documentary a while ago. You guys should watch it. It's on Netflix. It's really good. It's called Voyeur.
Yeah, and it's about a guy.
It's about a guy who, like, had a hotel and actually, like, spied on people.
Yeah.
And then it becomes about how, like, this guy and this journalist kind of have this weird relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, he almost turns the journalist into a voyeur as well.
Yeah, but the journalist, I don't know, he kind of freaks out.
The journalist is, like, participant observation.
Yeah, it's very weird because the guy, it kind of, like, draws this line of, like, what's weird and what's not.
Yeah.
Like, how okay is it to do that?
Yeah.
Like, it's obviously very intrusive.
Yeah.
But also, it's interesting, like, kind of, like, everyone could get sucked into it.
Yeah, for sure. It's interesting.
Yeah.
The theme of voyeurism is kind of what I wanted to go with today. I don't know why. I just think it's interesting.
I think it is the main theme in the film.
Yeah, definitely.
It's
peeking into people's private lives.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of movies that do that, I think. And I think that a lot of them take a lot from Alfred Hitchcock because he used it a lot.
I mean, it's that classic, like, there's so many spoofs of, oh, you think your neighbor's a murderer, but really there's a perfectly logical explanation.
Yeah.
And, like, so many, like, spoofs on that. So many, like, I mean, Disturbia is obviously, like, basically this redone in the modern era.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so many, many things come from this film.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of a kind, you know? First of its kind.
And it's good still.
Yeah.
Still good.
Yeah. There's a movie, it's like 1920s Alfred Hitchcock. It was one of his first movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Lodger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a silent film, but it's really good. And it's about, like, a lodger who lives, it's like a British film, but he lives in these people's houses, but they think that he might be a murderer, and then the ending is ambiguous. It's really good. So if you guys like silent films, then I think you guys would enjoy that.
Yeah. I think, I also think that I love Alfred Hitchcock's movies because I feel like they still hold up, especially, like, with his views of women.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of movies, the views of women don't really hold up today.
Yeah.
The women are really usually poorly written.
Mm-hmm.
But his female characters are always so, like, so well-rounded.
They are. Spirited.
And it's, like, I really like this movie, especially because of Lisa. She's so, like, I don't know, he portrays her when he talks about her as just like, oh, this silly girl who doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
And she's not prepared for a hard life. And, like, but then she herself does so much to prove to him, like, I am capable and, like, I can do things and still be pretty.
Yeah, and still be herself.
And still, yeah, and still take care of things and sell dresses and like expensive things.
Yeah.
And also be smart and, you know, sophisticated and all these things.
Yeah.
And in the end, he definitely is a proven wrong.
Yes, that's proven wrong about her. And this movie does, is it the Brechter test? Is that what? The Brechtel test. It passes. This movie passes.
Yeah, let me make sure I'm saying that right.
Yeah, we talked about it last time in Black Swan about how if it's like depicting women in
the Bechtel
test. Depicting women in a, you know, well-rounded type of way.
Yeah, well, it's essentially not even that. It's literally just a test. Are the women, like, characters of their own, sort of?
Yeah.
Like, so basically, the only measurement on the test is, do two women in the movie have a conversation that isn't about a man?
Yeah.
And I think it's also supposed to pertain to the plot.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's not a perfect test. It's a kind of an imperfect measurement. So the rules kind of vary depending on who you go to. But usually it's, do two men have a conversation that's not about a man that pertains to the plot? And in this one, they do.
Yes.
Because Stella and Lisa have a couple conversations about, okay, well, they do talk about the murderer a lot, and that is a man, but also it pertains to the plot.
The plot's about the murder.
The plot's about the murder. But they also have conversations about Mrs. Thorwald.
Yes, and her jewelry. And her jewelry. And the dog.
And the dog, yeah. So they have multiple conversations that don't involve a man, that aren't about a man.
Yeah.
So, yay, good for them. They
good
pass.
Good for them, yay.
Yay. That's impressive, too, especially with a movie.
Yeah, 1950s.
That's older.
And then the movie ends with, you know, him fighting off Mr. Thorwald and him falling out of the window and breaking his other leg.
Oh, yeah. So fun. And he's back in the cast.
Yeah, but she's there and being cute.
Cute. She is so cute. Her outfits in this.
I know.
Woof.
Woof.
Hot.
Alfred Hitchcock would go and pick them out with his leading ladies.
Oh, so they got a say?
Yeah, he had almost like an obsessive, not like, I don't know if it was creepy or not, obviously, yeah. But he had a little bit of a, like a, not obsession, but interest, a really intense interest in his leading ladies.
I don't know if it was creepy or not.
I don't know. I mean,
never know.
A lot of the ladies would be like, no, it was fine.
Fine.
You know,
yeah.
It wasn't weird, but some ladies were like, it's kind of weird. Like, yeah. Tippi Hedren was kind of like, it was weird.
Yeah, it also, I mean, kind of is a factor of its time, too.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Like, probably that would not be as okay today.
Yeah, but.
But back then, it's the 1950s, and yeah. Ladies did what ladies had to do.
So you liked the movie?
I did. I really liked this movie. I've never seen an Alfred Hitchcock film that I didn't like, so.
Oh, yeah.
They're always interesting. It's definitely, like, movies are so different nowadays, mm-hmm. where they're just so much more, like, keep your attention.
Yeah, this movie, you have to be patient.
Yeah, which is something that I think a lot of people lack now.
Yeah.
Because of...
That's why I like Hereditary.
Me too.
It forces you to be patient.
I also think that that's just like a thing that's kind of almost been lost in the movie industry, is forcing people to be patient and wait. But it's better. I think it's better because the payoff is worth more.
Yeah, the suspense is so...
Intense.
Intense, yeah.
And it's like part of it, but people don't... I don't know, people don't want to be in suspense. Even like horror thrillers, which I feel like are literally where that should be happening the most,
mm-hmm.
is... like, I feel like suspense and being patient pays off the most when it's horror and thriller.
Yeah.
But I feel like even now, like, thriller and horror films move so incredibly quickly because they don't want to lose your attention.
They want people to get bored because
exactly.
We have such short attention spans.
Exactly. And it's like, I mean, realistically, when you think about, like, other horrors and thrillers, it's like a jump scare every 2 seconds, even if it doesn't pertain to the plot. Like,
yeah.
Scary music, and it's even in, like, a lot of thrillers, there's that, like, thing that they do where the music gets scary and, oh my god, you think something's gonna happen, but in reality someone just like sneaks up behind them.
Yeah.
Or it's like nothing scary at all, it's just like a silly thing. But even then, it's like, it's meant to keep your, to get your adrenaline pumping a little bit so that you pay attention for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Till the plot. Whereas like stuff like Hereditary, stuff like this movie, it doesn't have that. There's none of that.
No.
Like,
none.
There's no accidental scares.
No.
Like, everything's very...
Oh, my God. Remember the one where he looks up and, like, looks directly at Jimmy
him.
Stewart? That's
yeah.
So scary.
Yes, it is. And it's, like, such a small thing, but if you've been paying attention,
mm-hmm.
it's scary because it makes sense.
It's been building up to this.
Exactly.
Or
when he's just smoking the cigar in the dark.
Yeah. Oh.
Blech.
Yeah, it's so creepy. And... just so suspenseful when Lisa, like, goes in up into the house and you're, like, you know, squealing because
you're like, no, Lisa!
Yeah. It's really good. I love this movie.
I think it's good. I think you should... I think movies that make you wait are good.
Me too.
I don't like that people don't want to wait.
I know.
It's like, just be patient. You sat down, you paid for 2 hours of your life, just sit down.
Yeah.
And watch it and enjoy it.
Just enjoy it. Yeah. I love it.
Me too.
All right. So Disturbia.
Disturbia!
Disturbia is a romp.
It is a romp. It's a freaking blast.
It's a blast, you guys. It's so fun.
It's so fun.
If
is
you
it
want,
amazing?
It's no. More of a guitar riff. While Rear Window's a sonata.
Yeah, Rear Window's like a symphony. This is like... It's so good. It has the first, like, first half of the movie has, like, the slow burn buildup of Rear Window.
Yes.
But it just goes fucking wild.
It does. It goes off the rails.
Whereas, like, Rear Window, it's honestly, like, all fairly tame. It's just intense, stressful stuff.
Yeah.
Not this one. This one is fucking crazy.
It goes berserk.
It goes berserk because we have money And we have special effects.
Yeah, this is 2007, baby.
It's 2007, honey, and we got Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
And we got Steven Spielberg producing this.
Yeah.
Nothing stopping us.
Nothing.
Woof.
Oh, whoa. Oh, it's my crazy. God,
it's so fun.
So the first, yeah, the first, like, half of the movie is really, it's very, like, building up characters.
Yeah.
Like, especially Shia LaBeouf's character, but also I think Shia LaBeouf is just a great actor.
LaBeouf is a great actor. We've said it before and we'll say it again.
This is great. The first scene is so intense. Him and his, they, like, introduce us to him and his dad and kind of get us, like, interested in their relationship. And then
immediately
kills the dad. And it's
in a horrible car wreck
that Shia LaBeouf was driving, and he is 17 years old. 17.
And he watches his dad die.
Yeah, his beloved father die.
It ruins his relationship with his mom.
It basically ruins his life.
It ruins his life. He becomes disinterested in school.
Because he, you know, depressed. Watched his dad die.
And then he's got this asshole Spanish teacher.
Yes. Oh my God.
Horrible guy. And basically he doesn't do his homework, which, like, granted, do your homework, even if you're sad. But he, the Spanish teacher, like, when he doesn't do his homework, Spanish teacher, like, gets up and shames him and is like, what would your dad think? And so,
yeah.
So he gets mad.
What the hell?
He punches him.
Because he's 17 and has poor impulse control, and he should be in therapy.
And he's depressed. And also, I guess he's had, like, a... So he goes to court because I guess he's had a record, a couple other incidents.
Run-ins. Yeah.
Like, similar to what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So he... The juvenile detention officer... is like, well, because your dad died and you watched it, and I think, like, you're not a bad kid, it's just like this. He gives him 3 months house arrest. So basically his summer is gone. He's on house arrest.
I just want to say, they sent Stanley Yelnats to a juvenile detention camp for maybe stealing shoes.
For one offense of stealing some shoes.
And they send Kale...
to 3 months house arrest, even though he punched his teacher in the face. Yeah, so, but of course, like, that's not enough. So he is, like, he's kind of expecting to be on vacation, but his mom is, like, her own personal punishment, basically, like, takes away all of his distractions.
Electronics, everything that he could possibly entertain himself with.
So that's how he...
begins to watch people.
Yep, essentially, he's really bored.
And I think it's interesting how this movie, obviously it's set in a house and not an apartment with like a rear in the rear. So like this movie, he's running around the house looking at different neighbors, which I think is interesting.
Yeah. And it kind of starts, he starts watching his neighbors because a new family moves in and they have a really hot daughter who's around his age. So that's why he initially starts watching out the window because he wants to see the hot girl. But then he starts noticing that like, his neighbors are interesting.
And he starts getting cabin fever.
Yeah, yeah. And he can go outside. He can go, like, 100 feet out of his yard. He there's a whole thing where, like, marks everywhere he can go in his yard. It is.
Soundtrack's great to this, by the way.
It really is, even though they don't play Rihanna's Disturbia.
Yeah, that's her biggest complaint. She's upset.
I mean, it is upsetting. I mean, the song was out. It does work with the film.
Yeah, no, it does.
We love Rihanna.
It's true.
And she's... It's named after... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's got the same name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Moving on. So, I love this opening scene. Because for one, it's fucking sad.
It's so sad.
For two, he breaks his leg in the car crash. So you think... That, especially, like, we watched Rear Window before this, so you're like, oh, that's how he's gonna end up in the house, because he's gonna be in the wheelchair. But then that isn't what happens.
Nope.
He ends up getting house arrest, which is actually almost, like, more interesting.
Yeah, but he has a limp, too.
Yeah.
In that leg, which I think is really cool.
Yeah. It is really interesting.
Yeah, the movie is not as one-layered as you would think it would be. Mm-hmm. It has some plot to it.
I mean, it doesn't have the most developed characters of all time.
Yeah, no.
But Shia LaBeouf's character is really well developed.
Yes.
And does have some fun side characters.
Ronnie's fun. If you're into one-dimensional female characters who do everything sensually.
Oh, yeah. That's probably my biggest complaint about this movie is Ashley's a terrible character.
No, yeah. She's...
She's so bad.
She's not a well-rounded female character. This movie does not pass the Bechdel test.
No, it does not. There is not even a conversation
Between two females.
Well, actually, nope. Yeah, because there's not. There's no two female conversations.
The mom and Ashley
never meet. They never talk.
Yeah.
Nope.
Nope.
Doesn't pass.
Nope.
And she's a horrible female character.
Yes, it's true.
She's hot. Okay, so that's like her big thing.
Yeah.
She ends up coming over because she's cool and into video games. And
she's a cool girl. They need to establish
she's
that.
She's not. And then literally that's the only thing they know is that she's trying to help them on like the fake murder mystery thing, right?
Yeah.
That she thinks is just for fun. And then also play around with, you know, Kale and Ronnie. She's just messing, just hanging out because she doesn't have a good home life.
Yeah, and she doesn't have a lot of friends because she just moved there.
Because she just moved there.
And school hasn't started yet.
So then she ends up meeting a girl named, like, Skinny Minnie or something like that. And she's, like, they call her, like, the psycho. But she essentially has a party, and she and Kale get into a big fight because Kale's like, I thought you were different than them, but you're just the same. And it's, like, so fucking stupid.
Calm down.
It's, like, she's literally just having a party.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and he gets upset for no reason. It's really upsetting.
Literally. Although the party doesn't make a ton of sense. He ends up ruining the party, but it doesn't really make a lot of sense because she's there and she's, like, hugging people and, like, flirting with people, but she doesn't know any of them.
No, yeah.
She's never met these people, and they're all at her house.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's very strange. And then they end up having a big fight because he ruins her party on purpose. And she comes over and he's like, you're not like them. You read books.
Substantial books.
Substantial books. You don't just look at People Magazine and Us Weekly. And I wanted to be like, if you're trying to do like an homage to Rear Window, this is not a great way to do it. Because the whole thing with Rear Window is you can be feminine and smart.
Yeah.
Or you can be, you know, popular and like to read.
Yeah, it's interesting that the movie from the 1950s is more like female friendly.
Friendly than this is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In 2007.
Also, his mom is dumb as fuck.
Oh my god, his mom is like, put him in therapy.
It's put him in therapy. I mean, what the hell?
He obviously has post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Because he like keeps,
he's
oh my
depressed.
God, he's depressed. It's so sad. And he's having like, he's acting out because he watched his dad die.
I know. And she's like, well, and she like uses that excuse. Like, he's just upset. He's like going through time because his dad died. And you're like, okay, help him.
Help him. He obviously needs help.
Literally.
And you're his mom and that's your job.
And she's like never around. And I know it's because she has to work more because their dad's dead. But also, it's not like they're not okay.
Yeah.
Like, they have a huge house.
Yeah.
They live in the suburbs. Also, we never know what suburbs they're from, but the girl, Ashley, she just moved from the city.
I heard them say Madison, so that made me think they were in Wisconsin. Okay.
She literally goes, he goes, where are you from?
The city.
Oh, she's a city girl. Interesting.
Interesting. But yeah, this movie, it does play with the voyeurism angle a lot, but I think it's almost less compelling.
And
that just because it's almost like you have that claustrophobia
in
Rear
really
Window that you're like stuck in this room with Jimmy Stewart watching outside his window.
Not so much doesn't happen here because, well, for one, they do have some technology, the cameras.
Yeah.
So you can travel farther. He can go outside.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a suspense, like thriller kind of aspect where it's this like super secret kind of trying to act like a spy thing.
Yeah.
More than it is the like claustrophobia and the voyeurism thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So like basically like Kale sees on the news, you know, like that some girls are missing.
Mm-hmm.
Then they release a description of the vehicle and that like the vehicle has a dent on one side.
Yeah, and it's not a super common vehicle. It's like a 1960s Mustang in a certain color.
Yeah.
And then it has a dent in the front side, so it's like a very specific vehicle.
And Kale sees that car in his neighbor Mr. Turner's driveway.
Yeah.
Like him backing it into it really late at night.
Yeah.
And so that's when he starts to get suspicious.
Yeah, and he sees at some point
a club girl whenever they talk about the less,
aka a prostitute.
Aka the less dead, sadly.
Yes. She goes to his house and he thinks that he's gonna kill her, and then it ends up like he and Ashley end up making out, so they miss him actually killing her, which I think that's something also I didn't really love about this movie is they showed the audience her being killed.
Yes.
But didn't show us. So when he did leave, because later he ends up putting on a wig and leaving the house and driving her car.
Yeah.
So that people will think that she left.
Yeah.
But obviously we know that there's no way it's her because he killed her.
Yeah.
And I wish we had not seen that.
Yeah.
Because it would have made it so much more suspenseful, like, oh, did he do it? Did he not do it? And then when he goes off the fucking rails and, like, smashes his mom's head in.
Yeah.
We would be like, okay, he definitely did it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because he ends up seeing it on video, but even then you could be like, oh, is it actually, like, is there another explanation?
Yeah.
Because he does find a bag with, like, it's a bloody bag, and you're like, oh, holy shit, he did it.
Yeah.
But then it's a deer. It's like this very, like, back and forth guessing game, but it's not for us.
Yeah.
Because we saw it.
Yeah, I think so. Like, it's kind of, it's an attempt, isn't an attempt at dramatic irony?
I mean, I guess. Yeah, it is, but I don't like it. But doesn't
land.
I mean, it is dramatically ironic, but I just think that the movie would have done better to keep the audience in the same position as Kale.
Yeah, because that's what they do in
Rear Window.
And that's what makes it work so well.
Yeah, because if we knew that he killed him the whole time, we'd be like, okay, well, he has to prove it.
Yeah.
Instead of him looking, like, dumb.
Yeah.
But for us, it's like, it is dramatically ironic because we know and Kale doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I wish we hadn't seen it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Also, the scene where you think Ronnie's dead.
Oh my god. Allison loves Ronnie.
I do love Ronnie. He's adorable and he's so fun.
He's so fun.
He, when you think he's dead, you're like, holy shit.
I know. Okay, so there's a point in this movie where it goes berserk, and it's whenever Mr. Turner bashes in his mom's face, and then it just goes off the rail.
Off the fucking rails. Well, essentially what happens is if he goes outside of 100 feet of his house.
Mm-hmm.
That a little alarm goes off. He has 10 seconds before the police are automatically dispatched. Also, one of the police officers is the cousin of the Spanish teacher that he punched.
Yeah.
So the police officer, like, really doesn't like him and uses his power for evil, like some police officers do.
Yes.
And so, and obviously people just don't believe him because he's a kid and he's a delinquent. So they just don't believe him. But he ends up, his friend Ronnie goes over to the house because he broke into a car earlier to try and get something and mm-hmm. left his phone in there. So he breaks into the garage, breaks into the car, and he's got a camera on him so that Kale can keep watch.
Yeah.
And make sure that, he doesn't see him moving in the house. But Kale ends up turning away for something. He gets caught. You think he's gonna die. You think he gets caught because he drops his camera.
Yeah.
It gets hurt.
So scary.
It's so scary. And then later you see on the camera, he looks like dead as fuck, but he's in Stanley's room.
Yeah.
And
in the closet, just in the passed closet. Out.
So Stanley goes in there and he was faking, and you're like, punch.
Yes. It was
Because he was fucking around, he accidentally caught video footage of the dead prostitute inside of one of his vents.
Yes.
And it turns out that the guy has, like, a secret house inside of his house.
Yeah, and he just has bodies everywhere.
A lot of bodies.
There's, like, a crawl space in this basement that, like, is filled with rancid dead body juice and parts.
It's literally, like, Kale wades through. An underneath, like, river or something where he's, like, dumped all the bodies.
Yeah.
And there's like, a room full of, like, surgical equipment where he cuts them up.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a little memento shelf.
It's super messed up.
It's messed up. And he ends up finding his mom trapped in this, like, dungeon, which, like, to be fair, it's a little far-fetched. Like, how could he have done this and nobody would have noticed? But also, very creepy. Also, his mom seems to have, like, some kind of thing for Mr. Turner.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's very weird, especially because he's old.
And her husband just died.
And her husband just died. And he's old. Also, I don't understand what made Mr. Turner go off the deep end in this one. Because Stanley calls the cops. They search his house. They're like, nothing. There's nothing here.
Yeah.
And obviously, okay, I will say, like, one of the cops kind of believed Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
Or not Stanley, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Coles. One of the cops kind of believed Kale and was like, oh, well, we should search the house while we're here. You know what I mean? Like, he's saying, like, some pretty serious things. Even though the other cop's like, fuck you. I don't care about you.
Yeah.
He does end up, like, going and searching the house, but they don't find anything because obviously there's like a secret
house in a house,
and you think like, oh, well, maybe Kale's wrong, and Kale thinks, oh, maybe he's wrong, but then his mom goes over there essentially to apologize for Kale's behavior and ask him not to press charges.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, that's why she goes over there. They have a drink. She's about to leave, and then he bashes her in the head, and you're like,
why?
No one would have ever suspected you.
Yeah.
But then, so then his mom, I guess she's like tied up, and he ends up hitting Ronnie, fucking smacking Ronnie in the head with a damn baseball bat.
Yeah.
And then, cracked his fucking head open. And then he gets Kale and ties him up. And he's basically gonna frame Kale for the murder of his mom and his friend.
Yeah.
And that's like the idea, is that he like went off the deep end. But I don't understand why. I guess he says something like along the lines of, you just had to look too close, didn't you? Like, he's figured it out. He knows he's figured it out, so he has to kill him. But it's like, but nobody believes him.
Yeah, what was your, like, I don't get his motive.
I guess unless he's like, well, he's not going to stop. Like, he's never going to stop until he proves it, and it is true. So I guess I have to.
Yeah.
But then he goes fucking crazy. He kills the cop. The cop ends up going into his house to try and find...
Oh, it's so crazy.
Try and find Kale, because Kale broke his little thing.
Yeah. He broke his
tracking device. So the cop comes to, like, get him, and he looks inside the house, and he's trying to find Kale, and then Mr. Turner's standing in the corner, and he fucking breaks the cop's neck.
Like, it's a DreamWorks movie, guys.
It is a DreamWorks film. He fucking snaps his neck. He falls to the fucking ground.
Like, just in front of the camera. Just snaps his neck.
Also, we see so many corpses. Literal, like...
So many.
So many corpses. I also want to say there is one very unrealistic part where Ashley is... She's learning about all the missing girls.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, like, looking through, you know, just, like, records, and she's on a news report, and they have a picture of the dead body after it's been found and recovered from inside the walls of an old house. And I was like, a news would never show that.
Oh, no.
The news would never legitimately show a corpse that's been rotting in the morgue. Like, they wouldn't take a picture of that and put it in their news story.
Can you imagine if someone...
No, you know how hard those pictures are to find?
They are hard to find.
They're hard to find. They're not just, like, readily accessible photos.
Yeah,
like, sometimes with, like, crazy high-profile murders, you can find them.
Did you know that a lot of, like, weird, murderer stuff, like, documents and stuff are available on bodybuilding blogs?
Hmm?
Isn't that weird? I learned that from last podcast on the left. Why? I don't know. But, like, they're not very good bodybuilding blogs, but they're pretty good true crime blogs.
That's... strange.
Isn't that strange? Yeah.
Well, like, anyway. I know you can find pictures of, like the selfie killer... The Black Dahlia murder, you can usually find, like, really crappy photos of.
Yeah.
Like, really super high-profile murders. Obviously, Ed Gein, there's, like, so many pictures of his house. Oh, my God, yeah,
of course.
But usually, like, just with a random serial, you're not going to be able to find that.
No, yeah, for sure.
I also like that he's a serial killer in this one.
Yeah.
And not a murder.
People like that.
I know.
Yeah.
Because we're white. but it's true. But I think it's very weird. They show so many corpses in the film.
So many.
So many.
And they're like defiled and stuff.
And
too.
Yeah, they're like literally like
cut open
and beat up and bloated. They look legitimately like they've been rotting in the water.
Yes.
Blech.
It's crazy.
He falls in there.
Man, Shia LaBeouf is cute though.
Yeah, he is.
Dairy cow eyes.
Dairy cow eyes.
It's a real thing.
You're like, maybe I can change him.
Maybe I can
change. Maybe I can save him. He's depressed. Maybe I can save him.
Maybe I can change him.
You know it's not true, but that's what your brain tells
you. That's what my brain tells me.
Your brain says, but he's hot and he seems nice. Maybe I can level him out. And you're like, you can't, but...
You can't, but that's what your brain tells you.
That's what you wish could happen.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah. So what do you like... I'm assuming you like Rear Window more.
Yeah, I think Rear Window is definitely a better film. Yeah. but this film's a lot fucking crazier.
Oh my god, this movie is crazy. We like screamed and jumped and stuff.
Yeah,
and
it didn't do that with Rear Window.
No, it's a ride.
I just want to say that Holes confirmed. Holes is what got Shia LaBeouf this film.
Yeah,
Steven Spielberg saw Holes and he thought it was so good that he gave him this film.
And he really showed his acting chops in this one, too, because the line delivery, he made it not that cheesy.
No, it's good.
It's good. His line delivery and his acting, they're good. It's good.
I think it's good. I mean, it's like, there's some writing issues.
Yeah, but yeah.
But that's not Shia LaBeouf's fault.
He's delivering them the best he can.
Unfortunately, this movie caused him to get the role in Transformers and in Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
Well, I mean, good for him, his bank account.
But yeah, but bad for those films.
Cinema.
They weren't good. They're not good films.
Not Shia LaBeouf's fault, though. We stand with you, Shia.
We stand with you. We stand with you.
Love your work.
Love your work. I'm sure he doesn't listen to this, but if you ever do, love your work.
Love your work.
Also, something I thought was interesting. This is the same house that Zathura... A space adventure with
yes,
Zathura. I guess I love that film.
Yeah,
so fun.
It is so fun.
It's knockoff Jumanji.
It is knockoff Jumanji.
So good.
But yeah, I liked both of them. I would give probably Rear Window a 9 out of 10 and Disturbia 6 or 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I'd say Rear Window 9 out of 10 and then this Disturbia. I give probably a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, it was good. It was a fun
ride.
It was fun. I had a good time watching it.
Me too. I think everyone did. We watched it at a party last night.
Yeah, it was really, really fun. We had a really good time.
I think give it a chance.
Give it a chance, yeah.
It's like, it's a little ridiculous. The mic almost fell.
Yeah, give it a chance, guys.
It's like, it's a little ridiculous, but honestly, just understand that the female characters aren't well written.
Yeah.
And there's only two of them.
Yeah.
And just enjoy the ride. Ronnie's fun, and Kale's well-developed.
He is. He's a good character.
And the guy that plays Mr. Turner is pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty creepy.
He is creepy. That's, oh my god, that scene where he takes the keys out of the car and gets inside to
Oh my god, Ashley. To talk to Ashley.
Yeah, Ashley's like stalking him so that they'll know when he's gonna be home.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets inside her car and like takes the keys out of the ignition and like is in there and is like basically telling her like, I know you're probably attracted to me and all this stuff, but yeah. I like my privacy, so you could maybe pass that along.
It's so messed up.
He's so creepy. He is creepy. It's like, you better fucking watch your shit, girl, or I'm gonna kill you next.
Yeah. Yeah, he was pretty good.
Yeah, he was. And apparently during the filming, he at one point broke 3 of his fingers and just kept going. And Shia LaBeouf was like, you could totally tell they were mangled.
He's pulling a Leonardo DiCaprio.
He is. For this movie.
Yeah.
Insane. That's a dedicated actor. Apparently he's a method actor.
Interesting.
The guy that played Mr. Turner method acted this film.
He murdered some women?
No. I think it was more like... I saw an interview like with Shia LaBeouf and he said that the entire time he wouldn't talk to anybody else except for like the people he had direct interactions with, so like the adults, but he wouldn't talk to any of the teenagers.
Really?
And if he ever had to be on set at the same time as them, he would just, like, sit in the corner and, like, watch them.
Wow.
I know. Which is, like, fucking scary. He said after they would film, he said he was really nice, but, like, during filming, he was always very creepy.
Weird. Interesting. Okay. You have an IMDb review for me?
I do. This is for Disturbia, because honestly, not very many bad IMDb reviews for Rear Window. I don't want to entertain such notions.
Agreed.
Disturbia, we'll see. So this is a 2 out of 10. Want to stab your eyes out? Watch Disturbia. If you need to get rid of $7.50 with no benefit to yourself short of donating to charity, go see this movie. I would rather swim with sharks with stakes tied to my legs. This piece of cinema dog crap is not even a scary movie. The killer doesn't come into play until the last 20 minutes of the movie, where he goes on a melee rampage with a baseball bat out of the blue. Totally pointless. It's cheesy, the jokes are stupid, and the killer's house is apparently designed by James Bond. He has a secret room, and then inside that secret room is another secret room that leads into a basement where beneath the floorboards are another secret room. Come on, secret room and a secret room and a secret room? That's stupid. I couldn't care less about whether or not the kid died, and to be frank, had the neighbor gone on his rampage at the beginning of the movie, it would have made the exact same sense, which is, hey, let's put a lot of teenagers in the house and have a crazed psycho try to kill them. This is a very original idea. Hold on, I lost it. Ah! This is a very original idea, and I think this movie is very Oscar-worthy. I would have rather watched a 2-hour documentary on the odor of dog crap. This movie sucked. And yet the person still gave it a 2 out of 10.
Yeah, why? Well, if it's dog crap, why?
Why not a 1?
Why not a 1?
Why not a 1?
Answer us this.
A secret room inside a secret room inside a secret room. That is true. That is what happened.
That's true. It's true.
I think the murder made sense.
I think the murder made sense.
Well, I mean, it didn't make the most sense, but I think the killer's introduced before that. It's not like you've never met him.
Yeah, I mean, it is a kind of a slow burn, but not even as much as Rear Window, though.
It also literally focuses completely on that guy, pretty much.
Yeah.
For most of the movie.
I don't know. I feel for Kale, for sure.
Me too. I mean, it's sad.
He's a sad boy, and he's...
I didn't want him to die.
No, me either. Definitely didn't want him to die.
Also, Mr. Turner ends up dying, because Kale stabs him with garden shears.
Oh, yeah.
Also, this is probably the movie in which the main character acts the smartest I've ever seen in a thriller.
He is really smart.
He tries to use his device. He tries to unplug it first. Then he tries to cross the line. All the things. He does everything he should do. And then he also ends up, he finds garden shears and he takes them and he keeps them with him the entire time. He never sets them down to do something.
Even when he's like wading through the bodies.
And he accidentally drops them at one point, but he pretty much immediately finds them and picks them up.
Yep.
And he uses them too. It completely saves him.
Yeah, no, he does act very smart.
Yep.
He's a smart kid.
Now he's killed 2 people.
Oh. That's sad.
Yeah. One of them was for a good reason.
Oh.
And the other was on accident.
Yeah.
That's sad. Poor kid.
Poor kid. Therapy, guys.
Therapy.
This
is a movie about how we should use therapy.
It's true.
How the criminal justice system should use therapy and not
house arrest.
House arrest.
Maybe house arrest and therapy? Why not?
Also, he just punched someone. Calm down.
And listen, that's Spanish teacher. So mean.
Also, every kid in that class should have been like, that Spanish teacher provoked him.
Oh, yeah.
Also, his dad died, and he's depressed, and he's literally never had any problems other than this year.
Yeah.
Give him some time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh. Movies that, where the criminal justice system is way too harsh on kids. Shia LaBeouf was in. That's like a whole subcategory.
That's one of his themes.
Subcategory of his career.
It's true.
The criminal justice system is too harsh.
I love it. All right. That's all I have.
Jane, so this episode will come out next Sunday.
Yes.
Today's a Monday.
Yes.
So will you be back on the 9th?
No.
Okay.
So we're going to miss a week, but that's why we did two movies
for you. So we're going to miss a week.
Sorry about that, but you know how it goes, but I hope you enjoyed both of the movies, Rear Window and Disturbia.
Yeah, I mean, I could do a mini episode where I just sing a whole song to you. Really.
Just riff.
Really breathy into the microphone to the point that you can hear everything. If you want that, leave us a comment.
I think you should just, you talk for 30 minutes about all your problems with the Game of Thrones finale.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
I think you should do it.
All right. Maybe I'll do that. If you want. The other thing, that was a joke. This thing, not a joke.
Not a joke.
If you want this, let me know.
Yeah. Guys, let us know if you want Allison to talk about Game of Thrones, because she has some really good opinions and good solutions to the problems.
Good solutions. Thanks, Reddit. We did it, Reddit. I have a lot of thoughts on Game of Thrones. So, I love it. I love Game of Thrones, but they're not perfect, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
So if that's something you're interested in,
yeah, for sure.
Let us know on our social media, and even if one person tells me to do it, I'll probably do it.
Yeah.
I very easily influenced everyone. So don't, you could be the one that influences me. That's a good idea.
Yeah. So sweet. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
And
bye.